Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, show 42. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Mr. Boyd, another week, another fantastic sports week has happened, and another one on the way.
Yeah, you better believe it. And of course, the week is not over. And as we speak, LeBron James just put on a huge, huge clinic tonight, Sean Wally, as he defeated the Charlotte Hornets tonight. My goodness, man, 61 points that he scored. He, since the All-Star break, is making a statement as far as MVP honors are concerned.
You know, I was about to say, I believe he has four other teammates on the floor with him and, you know, 10 to 12 guys on the bench. But shoot, you score 61. That is most of the production.
Man, 8 of 10 from behind the arc, and he just looked like he's in rare form. And, you know, I mean, these guys are making a run towards the playoffs and looking to three-peat, dare we say three-peat, for the NBA title. And who would have thought a few years ago, of course, you know, when LeBron made his decision and, you know, they lost to the Dallas Mavericks, you know, in the first year, a lot of people were ready to doubt him. But, boy, is he coming through with flying colors over the past few years. And, you know, these Miami Heat, they're in rare form right now.
So as in past years, do you think the Heat are the team to beat in the NBA, or is somebody else creeping up, hiding in the shadows that might be able to overtake them in the NBA?
Oh, no, most definitely the Miami Heat are the team to beat whenever you win the NBA World Championship. You are the team to beat. And so, you know, you can be rest assured that a lot of teams have, you know, the Miami Heat as their team. And so Miami has to come to play day in and day out, whether it's against, you know, a lowly team on that night or one of the better teams in the NBA. The Miami Heat have to play like every game is an NBA championship.
And so with, you know, spring is hopefully set to start here. I know most of the country is cold and wet and snowy and icy, but there's hope that spring will get here, warmer weather, and the NBA is winding down in the next couple months. Who do you think might be those 1-2 punches that might challenge the Heat, that might have a chance to surprise some people in the playoffs?
Well, of course, you have to look at the Indiana Pacers, and there's no doubt about it, the Indiana Pacers are definitely beefing up their team to play the Miami Heat. And, you know, that's going to be an exciting game, a lot like in the NFL, in the NFC West, when Seattle and San Francisco battle. You can take a look at the Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat. Also, you're looking in the West, it has to be the Oklahoma City Thunder that are stepping up. And, of course, the Portland Trail Blazers are making their wave as well. So there are a lot of teams that are vying for supremacy in the NBA.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to see, being up here in the Pacific Northwest, see the Portland Trail Blazers doing good things and, you know, trying to get back on top where they were in the early 90s. And, yeah, the Thunder with World All-Star Kevin Durant. Of course, he's a phenomenal player and they're a great team, but goodness, for those of us up here in the Pacific Northwest, that is just a dagger.
Yeah, it's a bitter pill to swallow when you see the Oklahoma City Thunder doing well. And, you know, it's all what could have been for Seattle. Of course, Kevin Durant doing his thing. And you're saying the Portland Trailblazers up there in the Pacific Northwest as well. You know, they have a great team. I just don't think that this year will be their time. But you got to love what Damian Lillard is doing up there as a point guard. And he's definitely one of the up-and-coming players in the NBA that's going to bode well.
Now, Sean, you mentioned Lillard. You had a chance to meet him this summer at an island known as might be as close as you can get to paradise in Hawaii. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, you never know who you're going to meet. So, of course, I'm taking my son to college his freshman year at Chaminade University in Honolulu, and we're on the, on the beach in Waikiki, and, you know, we're just kind of, you know, up and down the coast, and sure enough, there is Damian Lillard that's out there, and my son looks and he says, "Hey, that's Damian Lillard." There's no way Damian Lillard's out there and, you know, out here in Honolulu. And sure enough, you know, he and my son, you know, shared some pointers. Actually, my son, you know, received some pointers from Damian. Very down to earth young man, and, you know, I wish him the best.
And what do you think that Devon Boyd was able to take away from that, and, you know, starting his Hawaii experience? And here is Damian Lillard on the shores of Hawaii and on the beaches, and he's getting to spend some time with him and ask him a few questions and learn from him.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that Devon took from that was that Damian said, "Hey, always leave it on the basketball court. Give 110%. And, you know, there's always going to be that time when you feel like letting your guard down or resting or sleeping, and you can never rest. You know, you always want to go out there and give it 110%. And when you do that, you'll feel great about yourself. You'll feel great about the style of play that you produce, not just for yourself, but for your team. And, you know, great results will happen." And so, you know, again, Damian Lillard, you know, down to earth young man, and, you know, just giving back and sharing a few pointers with, you know, one of the up and comings.
And that's pretty much the theme of what one Russell Wilson, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, said today to the Texas Rangers as he spent his one day in spring training camp with the Rangers, who took him in the Rule 5 draft. And his message to the team was, outwork everybody. Doesn't matter who you are or what your stature is, you need to outwork everybody and the rest will take care of itself.
You know, that seems to be the moniker for everything that you do in life, Sean Wally. And I'll never forget my very first head coaching job at the high school level. And, you know, that was the advice that was given to me by, you know, one of my mentors, Coach Jim Good. And, you know, he pulled me aside and he said, "Coach, I'm so proud of you, you know, that you get this opportunity to go on and make a difference." And he said, "If I can give you one thing," he said, "never, ever, ever be outcoached. Don't ever be outcoached." And, you know, and that was one of the things that rung out to me. And sure enough, you know, I couldn't be outcoached. You know, there was, you know, I spent a lot of sleepless days and nights putting together game plans, and, you know, but it all pays off when you do it the right way. And so, yeah, you know, Russell Wilson giving that advice to the Texas Rangers, you know, to not be outworked. And, you know, if there's ever anybody to give that type of advice, it would be a Super Bowl champion.
What are your thoughts on the Rangers taking Wilson in the Rule 5 draft, knowing that he's not going to switch back to baseball? He's not going to give up a Super Bowl team in the Seattle Seahawks, and football is his path forward.
Why not? I mean, you know, baseball is called, you know, America's national pastime. And, you know, last I checked, you know, multi-sport players that played football and baseball, I mean, you're looking at two greats, you know, in Bo Jackson and Deion Sanders. And so if there's a chance that they can get, you know, baseball can get a great player, a savvy, headsy player, why not take a chance, you know? And I think that Russell Wilson would be a very good baseball player along with a football player.
Yeah, and Wilson said today that, you know what, I played baseball since I was 4. So it's still a passion. It's still in my blood. And it was good for him to have the day to get around the players, to learn from Ron Washington. And the Rangers have done good things the last 10 years. So I think it was a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, you know, and to get somebody like that to come into your locker room or out on into your dugout during spring training and to give some tidbits like that, that has to be a bonus. And so, yeah, hats off to the Texas Rangers.
And, of course, the NFL free agency period starts next week, and today passed with the deadline for franchising players, and a few teams did elected to not select anyone as a franchise player, and the Seattle Seahawks are one of them. And speaking of the NFL, let's go ahead and head on out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number one tonight, Drew Bledsoe. Drew, thanks so much for your time tonight.
Yeah, man. Good to talk to you guys. Been looking forward to it for a while.
We thought that we would play a little of that for you, Drew, just to take you back down memory lane.
Yeah, nice, man. Those are the good old days up in Pullman. We had a great time.
So, yeah, so mentioning Pullman, of course, you had some great dimes at Washington State University in Pullman. I mean, of course, you know, growing up in Walla Walla, you had a strong upbringing, of course. And what I mean by that is, you know, Dad was the head coach at Wahi, is what they call it. And, you know, tell us a little bit about that, you know, having a strong background and foundation with a father that coaches high school football.
I had a really privileged upbringing, and when I say that, that means that has nothing to do with dollars, right? My parents were both school teachers, but I got a chance to grow up in a wonderful community down there in Walla Walla. Love going back home. Love being a part of that town again. Playing sports and growing up in a small town. I really can't think of anything better. You know, in Walla Walla, we got huge support from the whole community whenever we had a sporting event. And one of the things that was the one of the biggest privileges that I had in my football career was knowing that every time I took the field, I was bringing all of those people that had helped me all the way along to be a better person, a better athlete, and better student. They got to take that ride with me, and it was really cool, man, to be in the NFL for a long time and know that those people got to take that ride and come along with me.
Mentioning the NFL, of course, you know, a lot of our listeners know that you had a long stint with the New England Patriots, of course, from 1993 to 2001. Some great years with the New England Patriots. And, you know, of course, 2001, you know, you decided to make the exit and go to the Buffalo Bills. But let's talk about the New England Patriots and that organization. Give our listeners an idea, just an inkling on that, the foundation that was laid there in New England.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I'm really proud that I was a part of. You know, when I got there, the team had not been very good. The franchise hadn't had much success. And when I left, the teams that I was a part of and the guys that I was around, we were able to build something that was the foundation for all the success that they've had now. But that organization, it's really a model for how to build a successful franchise, you know, these days. They do a great job of developing young talent. They're a little bit ruthless when it comes to, guys that have maybe outlived their useful lifespan or have gotten to the point where their salary cap number is bigger than the team feels like their effectiveness is on the field, and they continue to replace guys and develop young talent underneath them. And we're really unapologetic about, sending older players down the road if they feel like they can replace them at a lower number. And that just is, that's been their deal for a long time, and it's allowed them to, in a league that's designed for parity, it's something that's allowed them to maintain a level of success for a long time now.
Drew, was it tough when the Patriots decided to give Tom Brady the shot and traded you to the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you work someplace and you give your heart and soul to an organization for 9 years and then you sustain an injury, you know, on the field that really almost killed me. You know, you feel the natural reaction is to feel like, you know, they owe you something and they should let you come back and compete for your job and that there's something owed there. But what you discover and what the lesson that most professional athletes learn is that it's a replacement game, and they're always looking for somebody to come in and take your job, and if they find a guy they like, then they're going to move on. And as soon as you can get over that and not take it personally, then you move on. But the one overriding thing that I want everybody to hear, from me, and that I say all the time, is that it was, it was and continues to be and always will be a great time in my life when I was in New England, and I have no ill will toward that organization. Love that family, love that team, and I try to tell people all the time, man, that if you were one of the privileged few that actually got a chance to play a sport for a living, you really don't you surrender the right to ever complain about how you were treated, and I try to keep that in mind all the time. I just had a great time out there and loved it. Still love Tom Brady to this day. Love that organization and was proud to be a part of it.
That's the voice of former NFL quarterback Drew Bledsoe joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. Now, Drew, when the business side of the NFL set in and your injury happened and you made some changes with moving to Buffalo and then on to Dallas, along your professional career, who were the people that you relied on and helped you grow as a person and also a player?
Oh, you know, families, the overriding thing through all of that. You know, I was fortunate to have, you know, great parents and great brother, and then I had the great fortune of marrying the right gal. So I had a true companion through all of it, and we had some great kids, and so I really relied on all of them, and you know, the big thing that the lesson that I think that I would love to pass on to other pro athletes as they're going through, you know, their careers is to make sure that you plan for life after your professional sport, because when you're doing that, if you're fortunate enough to get into your 30s while you're playing pro sports, you're really old. I made a plan and was when I was time for me to retire. You know, I had a few opportunities to go look at some other places and go play some more, but I was really ready. It was the right time for me to move on down the road, and I had a plan for it, and we've executed that plan, and it's just been a great life. So I've really enjoyed it. Our wine business is going really well for us. We're enjoying that. Involved in a couple of other businesses, and now back coaching high school football, if you can believe that, down in Bend, Oregon, coaching the Summit Storm. My boys are coming through there, and just having a ball coaching high school football. So it was an entirely just an amazing, wonderful experience to play pro sports, and loved it. Feel super privileged to do it, but it also comes with some challenges, and fortunately I was able to plan my way through those, and it's been really a great thing.
Drew Bledsoe, kind enough to join us on the Double with the Double S Express. And Drew, you're mentioning a few of the business endeavors that you're accomplishing. One of the ones that I really love and, you know, got a chance to partake with as well is coaching high school football. And you mentioned Summit High School in Bend, Oregon. And there is no greater part of the country, I believe, than in Bend, Oregon. I mean, you have Mount Bachelor in the background, Sun River. You have the Deschutes River as well. I had the chance to spend a couple of years there of my life, and I believe the best 2 years, two of the best 2 years in Bend, Oregon. Summit High School, the team's coming around this year. You got a good quarterback coming back,
man,
as a senior.
Summit's a school that's had a lot of success in other sports. They're great in track, great in cross country. They've done really well in golf, tennis, you know, all of those sports, but they hadn't had a lot of success in football. Last year, made it to the playoffs, won our first playoff game in school history. Now we've got a whole bunch of guys that are committed to it, and it looks like we're going to make a little run at it here the next couple of years. So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm enjoying it. And more importantly, you know, you get to pass on knowledge and wisdom to young guys, and so that's really, really cool. But hey guys, I walked out of a dinner party down here, and we're at a fundraiser. I'm gonna make my exit, but I really appreciate you guys having me on, and my best to all the fans up there, and go Cougs.
Sure,
thanks so much for your time, Drew. Appreciate it.
You guys, bye.
There goes Drew Bledsoe, former Washington State Cougar, drafted by the New England Patriots in 1993, number one overall. Sean Boyd.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that Drew was talking about is, you know, to the professional athletes is to make sure that you have a plan B when you decide to leave the game, or if the game decides to, you know, say that you've had enough. And so Drew's done exactly that, mentioning, you know, coaching at Summit High School. Of course, he has the wine business as well. I believe the Double Back Winery is one of the businesses, and I believe he has an investment firm as well. So, you know, Drew is definitely staying busy, you know, after, you know, football life.
Absolutely. If you want to check out Drew's winery, it's doubleback.com. And they're expanding their vineyards, and they have a great Cab Sauv they spend their time and efforts on, and it is sold out every year. So check it out, doubleback.com, to check out Drew Bledsoe and his winery in Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah, you know, and growing up in Walla Walla, of course, there's the, you know, there's a that background as well as far as wine country. And so bringing that to, you know, the Oregon, you know, the Oregon territory, the Central Oregon, is also great for business out there. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure that Drew has a strong background, you know, growing up in wine country.
Absolutely. And that's something that he obviously has a passion for and started from the ground up, and things are doing well, growing and expanding. And, you know, that's the goal with any venture you have. And definitely Drew's learned from his parents through school on into the professional ranks of football, how to make the most of the situation that you're in.
Yeah. You know, and of course, you know, we thank Drew for actually taking the time out. He told us in the beginning that he was breaking away from a dinner date, and he took the time out to actually be on the double with the Double S Express. And so, Drew, we definitely appreciate you coming on, and look forward to having you on in the future when you have a little bit more time. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have some more sports talk for you. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger.
Andro 400 is the natural, safe, and effective way to lose weight, gain energy, increase testosterone, and feel young again. Too good to be true? Then listen to what Bob and Jim have to say.
And in 30 days, I lost approximately 10 pounds. After another 30 days, I lost another 8 pounds, so a total of 18 pounds lost in 60 days. My libido has been increased 100-fold, and I feel like a teenager again.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about a year now. I've lost a little over 30 pounds. I have more energy. The biggest thing is just feeling better about myself, a lot more confident.
Guys, it's time to discover what Andro 400 can do for you. Call 888-400-0435. That's 888-400-0435. Or go to andro400.com.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. It's been a fast and furious first half hour here on the Double, Sean.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, Drew Bledsoe on the show and getting a chance to, you know, just to delve in a little bit on what Drew's been doing, you know, after football. And, of course, you talked a little bit about the business ventures that he is doing. Of course, Drew was at a dinner function. And he took the time out to, you know, to talk with us, Sean Wally, and we definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great of him to commit and then when he reconfirmed the time with me, he's like, "Ooh, I have a dinner function, a fundraiser," and I offered him, you know, later times, and he said, "No, we'll stick to 7:10, and we'll go from there." So we did, and hopefully, you know, I mean, it was great speaking with him, and I got to meet him at the Apple Cup and in 2013, and he's just a real down to earth, easygoing guy.
Yeah, you know, you talk about somebody that's spinning a lot of plates, and he mentioned the businesses again that he's involved with, and of course, you know, having the dinner tonight and then being on the show, you know, he's very open to doing what he can for the community and actually taking the time out and getting on the radio as well, man. So he burns the candle at both ends.
Seems to be a theme with successful people in whatever industry, but you look at Drew Bledsoe, did well all the way through the professional ranks and now beyond. I mean, he's professional still in what he's doing in his winery and the Bend Loft and other ventures he's involved in. And you look at some of these guys that do succeed at everything they do, and that's one of the themes, is they stay busy, they stay on the move, and they continue to strive for greatness.
Yeah, you know, Sean, we had a discussion today with one of the up-and-comings in TV, and definitely take a look at, and I'm talking about Leo Clark when we talked with him today. And Leo, if you're listening, shouts out to you. He's got a great, great TV show that's coming up to where he's interviewing great sports athletes. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, having a big heart. And, you know, it's no accident that, you know, guys like Drew and you're saying the people that keep themselves busy, people that are out there doing things in the community, they've been that way since day one. And so, you know, those are the types of people that, you know, we talk about that do great and, you know, and successful things. You know, they're not inclusive. They're not thinking of themselves. They could easily go run and hide, and then we can find them somewhere in the tabloid or on Shock Talk radio or news. But, you know, it's all about the people that are willing to give back. And, you know, Drew's definitely one of them.
And that's so much of what we're trying to do and have done here on the show, at least I believe, in 41 and a half shows now, that there's so many other stories to so many people in sports and in life that nobody hears about. The good things they're doing in the community, the extra hours they're putting in to help that student, that they're doing so much volunteer work and it goes unnoticed. And all the news wants to hear is there was a crash here, a wreck over here, this burnt down and somebody's in trouble. Well, you know what? That doesn't help anybody, and that doesn't pick anybody up, dust them off, and help them get better, get on the right path, and do the right thing. And it's, you know, good guys like a Drew Bledsoe, a Ray Allen, a John Kitna that are doing the right thing, and their story needs to be told, and their walk, that they need to have a light shined on them as well, even though they don't want it, they're not asking for it, but they're doing good things, and people need to know about it.
Yeah, you know, because it isn't all about, and you mentioned some great points, Sean, it isn't all about the things that shock you. You know, those are things that, you know, society, you know, we come home from work and maybe you had a decent day or maybe you had a bad day. And I think the reason why most of us turn on the TV, sadly enough, is to see if anybody had a worse day than we did. And so instead of looking for that uplifting, encouraging, you know, it kind of makes you feel good in a weird way to know that, gosh, somebody else had it worse than me. And unfortunately in society, that's the way it is. But, you know, of course, you know, what we're doing is we're turning it around and showing the, you know, the lighter side and showing, you know, the humanistic side. That's what we had talked about earlier as far as what people are doing, what, you know, whether you're a professional athlete, whether you're a journalist, whether you're, you know, a sportscaster, you name it. You know, we bring the brighter side and we bring the humanistic side to sports radio. And I think, you know, we do a pretty good job at it, Sean Wally.
And that's the goal, is to keep shining bright lights on bright stars out there in the sports world, be it from media, athletes, former athletes, current businessmen like a Drew Bledsoe, and let them know that it's not all negative. It's not who had a DUI yesterday, who was arrested with a gun. And there are other stories out there, and that's what we're trying to bring you here on The Double.
Definitely. And you know, and we'll continue to do that, you know, in the weeks to come. And, you know, just expect these great sports talks moving forward. And speaking of sports, Sean Wally, we've got what's going on in the realm of the NBA?
Well, we already touched on, you know, who's going to catch Miami, and most people think nobody except possibly, you know, Oklahoma City has a shot. But the new commissioner is serving as sheriff, and that is one Adam Silver. Of course, he was the protege of David Stern, who most people up here in the Pacific Northwest do not like. And there was a story that was put out on Art Thiel Sports Press NW.com, good friend of the show who we've had on as a big-time guest, Art Thiel. He wrote that Adam Silver was interviewed and asked, you know, what's going on with Seattle? It seems like Seattle's used as a pawn. Anytime a team is, you know, threatening, wanting a new arena, has money issues, ooh, we're going to move them to Seattle, and it never happens. And Seattle had a 41-year history with the NBA, a lot of good times, one NBA championship, another NBA, two other NBA finals appearances. And Silver basically said, that was David Stern. I'm not him. That was all Stern. And he did say that, you know, right now, my job as NBA commissioner is to get all teams financially viable and doing well with the bottom line. And until that is happening, which currently it's not, I can't look at expansion. I can't look at adding more to the pot for more teams to take money and for more teams possibly not to make money. So until all the teams in the NBA are making money, he cannot look at sending another team to Seattle or anywhere else.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, when Seattle was in position, Chris Hansen had formed this group to, you know, take the team from Sacramento. You and I had had some pretty heated discussions on this, because for one, you know, I just want everybody to know that, you know, I'm a diehard Seattle Supersonics fan. And when the Seattle Supersonics left to Oklahoma City, that crushed me greatly. But one of the conversations that we had, Sean Wally, was, you know, that was just what Adam Silver was talking about. And I remember talking to you about that, the issue of, you know, there are 30 owners right now that don't want another sliver, you know, or to give another piece of the pie to another city. And so, you know, it makes sense to actually fix and develop what is already there, because, you know, these ownerships are comfortable and used to it. And at some point down the line, there will be a situation to where there is enough money and enough revenue to have these two expansion teams. But as far as at this moment and at that particular moment, it made more sense for a Sacramento team to actually stay in Sacramento than to uproot and go to Seattle. Now, with that being said, as far as David Stern using that as a using Seattle as a pawn, that situation was very real with the Sacramento possibly moving to Seattle. And so I don't think that it was actually, you know, if he was playing a game, he's very good at hiding and deceiving, you know, the rest of the world, because bottom line is David Stern did want that team to stay in Sacramento, and he fought tooth and nail to make sure that it stayed.
Yeah, and in the end, I mean, that's definitely the best way, is to keep teams that are established and have been around for 20 plus years there, because there are too many people that are affected by it. I mean, if you think about it, even, you know, of course the players are affected by it. And not only that, but everybody that's employed by the organization. And it's even bigger than that when you've got all the fans, but then you also have the people that work at the arena, the people that work, as we do at times, in television and work those games. Guess what? Now there's 41 plus games not on the schedule for you to go get a paycheck if you're an usher or you work concessions, or maybe, you know, like I mentioned, you work in TV and you're working those games. Now that's gone. The restaurants, the bars, they all lose out. So it's a big trickle-down effect that snowballs, and it's not a good situation anyway you slice it.
Yeah, you know, teams moving and franchises moving are never fun. And again, I remember that when, you know, Seattle left, and it felt like a kick in the stomach for months and months and months. And, you know, and actually going through that again down here in Sacramento, I thought, oh my goodness, why in the world is this happening? You know, and, you know, not even, I'm not a Sacramento Kings fan, but, you know, I did love the solidarity that the city started to rally around its team and fought tooth and nail. And you had Kevin Johnson that stepped in, and, you know, who's a Phoenix Sun, but grew up in the Sacramento area and loved the Sacramento Kings just the same. And so you had that solidarity, that camaraderie, and, you know, it felt good. It's a great feeling around here now. You know, the arena is in the process of being built. There are a couple of hiccups that went on, but now it looks like, you know, it's full steam ahead, and you have a city that is proud of their franchise. And, you know, what that means for Seattle, I believe, Sean Wally, is in a couple of years, you know, when the NBA is looking for an expansion, you can be rest assured that Adam Silver is going to be looking up toward the Pacific Northwest, because it is a basketball town, and, you know, it's very well respected in the NBA.
Well, talking of the Pacific Northwest, it might be a race between the NBA and the National Hockey League as to who is first and next in Seattle. The NHL, specifically the Vancouver Canucks, recently hosted media members and the Seattle Sports Commission to a Vancouver Canucks home game, and they sat through presentations during the day of how the NHL works and how they have success in Vancouver, which is one of the better NHL cities. And the fact that Vancouver really would prefer a team in Seattle to have a natural rival right up I-5. And the NHL might beat the NBA at this point. And really, the league that decides Seattle is their destination point and is first to hit home really has the advantage, because they're going to be the new ticket in town. They're going to get the sponsorship dollars that if you come in second, if you're next, whether it be the NBA being second or the NHL being second to expand or move a team to Seattle, then a lot of those dollars are already going to be tied up, whether it be in sponsorship and or ticket sales. So it seems to be a race as to who wants it first.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, whenever we talk about expansion teams and we talk about some of the things that could be for the city of Seattle, you know, I think we're actually putting the cart before the horse. The biggest thing that what Seattle needs to concentrate on right now is actually building an arena. And, you know, that's it. Just build the arena and worry about the other things that fall into place. Because, you know, we can talk about what ifs until we're blue in the face on this whole issue. But until Seattle actually has a group that steps forward and says, regardless of the outcome, we're willing to put our money where our mouth is and build this arena, and then we'll see, you know, where the chips fall. We're just talking right now. And so I'm expecting that group to happen. But until then, you know, it's just a formality.
If you want to chime in on this or any sports topic, give us a call, 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471, to be on the double with the Double S Express. And, Sean, the interesting thing that is involved with the whole Chris Hansen arena deal in Seattle is the building won't be built until a team is secured, at least in the NBA realm, because that's what Hansen wants to be involved in. Now, if the NHL were to show up with some paperwork and say, hey, we're going to move here in 2 years, then maybe that would get the arena started. But until there's a deal in place for that NBA team, Hansen won't move forward with the arena, which has, I believe, 4 years left on the MOU with Seattle and King County.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that at some point, you know, the ownership group that is looking to have a team in Seattle has to, you know, come to grips that the NBA is the stronghold in this, and that they'll have to succumb to what the NBA wants. And so, you know, there has to be movement. There has to be activity to actually get a team such as an NBA team in a big city like Seattle. And, you know, I don't think that the Hanson Group should, you know, should balk at this one. You know, I think that they should act accordingly and just go ahead and build that arena. It makes it a lot easier to get what you want that way.
Yeah, it's the old adage from Field of Dreams, the movie with Kevin Costner. If you build it, they will come. And that's the hope. But you don't want to be stuck with an empty building either. And there are other cities around the country that are, and you definitely don't want that. But we will return with your phone calls, and we'll switch gears to talk about some free agents in the NFL. Come on back after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express, delivered by Papa John's Tri-Cities. Everybody get up.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.
The Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And Mr. Boyd, I know you're dancing in your studio as Avicii Levels brings us back from break.
Man, you know, I love Avicii Levels. And every time, Don Newsom, you play that, you know, it brings mass hysteria. So thank you, Mr. Newsom, our awesome engineer.
All right, Sean. The NFL is king of the world in the world of sports. And a few things have happened in the last couple of days. Let's go down in your neck of the woods, the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, we've touched on the whole coaching drama and saga with Harbaugh and the front office. But a good bit of news comes out of Santa Clara as wide receiver Anquan Boldin and the Niners agree to a 2-year, $12 million deal.
Yeah, I think it was a solid move. I do. I think it was a solid move for San Francisco on a couple of reasons. One, you have a seasoned veteran that, you know, Aquan had a very good season last year. You know, he's a strong possession receiver that can help you move the chains. The other reason is that, you know, the San Francisco 49ers still have a young receiving core. And, of course, Michael Crabtree is still trying to come into his own. And what Anquan Boldin does is he brings that stability to a receiver core that still might need a little bit of maturity in the next couple of years here.
Yeah, and teaming him with Crabtree and, you know, Frank Gore, they've got a solid offense. They've got a solid team. I mean, they've been in the NFC Championship or the Super Bowl the last few years, and it's just a matter of can they get over the hump.
Yeah, you know, and San Francisco is not shy when it comes to the drama that's going on. And you'd mentioned, you know, with Jim Harbaugh, you know, and this whole trade rumor with the, you know, the Cleveland Browns. And then, of course, the San Francisco 49ers taking a huge defeat in Seattle in the NFC Championship game. Combine that with going into Levi's Stadium next year, a brand new venue for the San Francisco 49ers. Huge question mark as to can they maintain as one of the top teams in the NFC? And will they have a successful season knowing all the drama that's happened with Coach Harbaugh and, you know, the organization?
Moving to the AFC, you've got the AFC champion Denver Broncos with a big day as quarterback Peyton Manning passes his physical for his neck, cleared to play in 2014.
You know, if you think about it, you're saying, wow, you know, that's what's the big news about that? You know, Peyton Manning had a successful season. Of course, you know, the Denver Broncos playing in the Super Bowl. You know, what's the big deal? This was actually a huge deal, Sean Wally, because – you know, a lot of people wanted to know if Peyton Manning still had, you know, enough gas in the tank to play a year or two. And it looks like he does, which is exciting news for the Denver Broncos because they can continue to build around, you know, Peyton Manning and start to put those pieces in the place that will help, you know, Peyton have a stronger offense. But then more importantly, the Denver Broncos have to shore up some things on defense as well. But it's also it's so good in the Mile High City to know that your quarterback will be around for a couple of years.
And this was a huge step for Manning and the Broncos because if he was told that his neck isn't right, his life, forget his career, his life is in jeopardy, he was ready to walk away. And then where would the Broncos turn? So it's a big deal for both Peyton to know that he's healthy and for the Broncos to know they've got their Hall of Fame quarterback for at least one more season.
Yeah, you have to wonder what was going on in Peyton Manning's, you know, what was going on in his head. He's, you know, is he thinking, man, is this it? You know, do I have to start to come up with this exit plan? You know, I still feel like I can play. It has to be a huge sigh of relief, not just for Peyton, but for the Manning family to know that, you know, that Peyton is healthy and, you know, he's got a few more years left.
And finally, some good news out of Miami as the Dolphins reach a 4-year deal with one of the better corners in the game, cornerback Brent Grimes, 4 years, $32 million. So one would think that Richard Sherman's going to get at least that, if not more.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of DBs and corners that are paying close attention to what's going on in the offseason. Of course, Roger Goodell putting the standard down for the 2014 salary cap. And so now, you know, organizations understand how much money they can spend. And that was good for Miami to solidify their defensive backfield.
All right, Sean, a team that's near and dear to your heart, Raider Nation, the Oakland Raiders have a lot of money to spend. Reggie McKenzie looking to upgrade that team in Oakland, and I know you would like nothing more than that happening. I'm going to give you a few names, and you tell me whether or not you would like these players in silver and black that are free agents here in 2014.
All right.
Let's start here in the Pacific Northwest. A wide receiver that was just released, Sidney Rice.
Man, you know, Sidney, I think that right now with the Oakland Raiders, I would accept a Sidney Rice into the Oakland Raiders camp, and this is the reason why. I believe that he still has, you know, that spectacular burst that he had before the injury. You know, of course, it remains to be seen, but when you're talking about a receiver core that the Oakland Raiders has, that, you know, a lot of these guys are unknown names and they're trying to find themselves in the NFL, it would be good to have a veteran in their, you know, in their organization that would teach some of these younger receivers to actually, you know, deliver what their potential is.
Staying in the Pacific Northwest, how about a younger receiver? Golden Tate is a free agent.
Yeah, you know, I think that's kind of a lofty dream for a lot of NFL teams. I believe that at some point the Seattle Seahawks are going to find a way to keep Golden Tate. I think it would be a huge, huge mistake if Seattle allowed Golden Tate to go out there and, you know, get big money. So I believe that in the next, you know, couple of weeks here that Seattle will find some way to keep Golden Tate in their camp.
This is the final receiver's name I will give you. One I think does make sense if he moves from an AFC West rival, Eric Decker.
Man, wouldn't that be fun to have Eric Decker? Yes, I would love to have Eric Decker play in the silver and black uniform. You know, of course, it's more common these days to actually have teams leave from one team in a division to the next. And so, you know, Oakland has about, you know, they're starting to chip away at that $60+ million that they have to spend. I think that it would be a great investment if the Raiders found a strong quarterback. And I don't know if they're going to find that in free agency or if they're going to find that in the draft. But at some point, they're going to need to have some receivers to throw to. So I believe that Reggie McKenzie is out there looking to solidify that receiver core.
Sean Boyd, you mentioned quarterback, and here is a name I think would be amazing in silver and black, and then the Raiders could then also draft a young quarterback to learn and groom from this guy, and that is one Michael Vick. How would he look in silver and black?
Well, you know, he would look great in silver and black, and, you know, one of the things that is a huge question mark with Michael Vick is that he hasn't had really that much success since the Atlanta Falcons days. And so the Raiders want to win, and they want to win now. And it's important for them to do that. And, of course, you're talking about a team that is involved with stadium issues as well and trying to figure out when they're going to get their stadium built. I'm just not sure, Sean Wally, that Michael Vick is – the person that can actually bring lightning in a bottle to a team, to a franchise that has been bad for so long. And, you know, I think Oakland is trying to make a huge home run. Would Michael Vick put butts in the seats? You bet. But as far as the wins are concerned, well, you know, that's a huge question mark. And so I think that Mark Davis would have to ask himself is what does he want? Does he want, you know, to put people in the seats, or does he want to win and put people in the seats? And that's going to be a huge, huge question for the organization of the Raiders.
Now, we talk a lot about on the show and also with our big time guests that have played in the NFL or media members that deal with, you know, the NFL, being beat writers or reporters, and you build success in the trenches, at least I believe that, and I believe you're on the same page, Mr. Boyd. And if you're talking the Oakland Raiders, that would be a good place to start, too. You've got a lot of good offensive linemen that are available right now as free agents. Eugene Monroe out of Baltimore, Brandon Albert out of your rival Kansas City, Alex Mack, a fabulous center from the Browns. A lot of options you could go on the offensive side of the ball. And then, of course, defensively, Michael Bennett, out of the world champion Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, there's a few other guys out there that, of course, the Raiders want to retain, like a Jared Veldheer. So a lot of options, and it's just a matter of where Reggie McKenzie wants to spend his money, Lamar Houston being another.
Yeah, you know, if there was ever a side of the ball that the Oakland Raiders should really focus on, I would say it would be on the defensive side of the ball, believe it or not. Tony Sparano has done a very good job in coming in and being the offensive lines coach and the assistant head coach for the Oakland Raiders. He has a strong group of people. It's, you know, just like any other team, you know, the Oakland Raiders have been beleaguered with injuries. And so you have a Menelik Watson, who was a rookie this past year. And of course, he had some injuries, but he showed signs of greatness. The Raiders just signed Khalif Barnes, former University of Washington tackle. And, you know, so the Raiders have strong stability. And you mentioned Jared Veldheer along with Wisniewski, the Raiders have a strong offensive line. They just have to figure out who they are. And so they've been mixed and matched for so much. You've had a left guard move to a left tackle move to a right tackle, and vice versa. And they just have to build some stability. Where the Raiders have to get better at is they have to get better at that pass rush. And you mentioned Lamar Houston, and Lamar Houston is definitely somebody that the Raiders want to bring back. But who do you help fill the void in helping that pass rush? And so, again, that's why Reggie McKenzie is being paid the big bucks to bring some of these great players in. And if he was smart, he would look more on the defensive side of the ball and that defensive line.
And the final point here on the Raiders, and where are they going with a stadium? You see all these teams that have opened new stadiums in the last 5-10 years that brings success. That is a stepping stone to help you bring the fans in, get the sponsorship money to put back into the team. And you've been to O.co more times than you want to even remember. And you know, we saw it together with the Tacoma Thunder from, you know, the parking lot, just taking a drive by, and that place was a cavern in 05. Here we are 9 years later, and nothing has changed. And I know that from afar, I have seen computer-rendered drawings of great ideas by the water and moving here and moving there in and around Oakland. Is anything moving forward that actually is gaining momentum and steam?
Right now, no. And it's sad to say, you know, when you're dealing with these types of issues, and of course, you know, going back to the Sacramento Kings, the reason why Sacramento was able to keep the Kings in town is because they had a strong city council. And, you know, we can actually talk about that with the Seattle Supersonics on why they left. It's because the city council was not as strong. The Oakland Raiders are dealing with a situation to where there are a lot of ideas that are being thrown out. And I do not believe that the city council believes that any of the teams, whether it's the Oakland Raiders or the Oakland A's, they don't believe that these teams have enough gumption, even though Al Davis has done this before. They don't believe that, you know, that if the Oakland Raiders leave, that, you know, the economy will, you know, will hurt. I believe that if you lose a professional franchise in your city, which brings a lot of money, and let's face it, you know, Raider Nation is not just a stronghold in Oakland, it's all around the world. You know, if you lose that type of an income coming into your city, it's a big deal. I just don't think that the city council believes that right now, because if they did, then they would actually, you know, have a plan in place and, you know, pretty much have shovels in the ground, because like you said, Sean Wally, this stadium has been a relic for a while. And so, you know, Mark Davis has mentioned as much this past week that, you know, if the city doesn't do anything and if a plan isn't put in place, then he's going to be forced to do something. Now, does that mean moving to Los Angeles? No, because that's the first thing that people think, is that they're going back to Los Angeles, and that's not the case. But I can tell you that Mark Davis would be open to anyone who had a great idea to make sure that his team had the proper stadium.
Let's start the petition now. the Sacramento Raiders. Let's go.
Yeah, hey, you know, that sounds like a great idea. You know, that, you know, Sacramento is one of the faster growing areas, and you know, there's plenty of space, and you've been down here. You know, there's city, and then there's farmland, and then there's city, and then there's farmland. So there's a lot of land out here to build an awesome stadium. So yeah, I'm all for that too. Let's start the petition.
Absolutely. I mean, Sacramento has been supporting the Kings for years, and the River Cats are doing all right. And you know what? Why not? You know, if Oakland and anybody else around the Bay won't step up and help the Raiders, I mean, what more nostalgia and history do you need than the Raiders and their plan in one of the concrete caverns of North America? And they deserve a lot better than they've been dealt.
Yeah, you know, I believe that Sacramento, and this is just, we're just tongue-in-cheeking this, of course, but, you know, there was a point in time, I believe 15 to 20 years ago, to where the Oakland A's were actually thinking about, and it might be a little bit more longer than that, but we're thinking about moving right next to then Arco Arena in North Sacramento. They actually still have, if from an aerial shot right next to Sleep Train Arena, you can see the grandstands that were actually being built, you know, the backstop and everything, to where the Oakland A's were actually thinking about moving their baseball franchise to Sacramento.
Now, you mentioned Sleep Train Arena. That is looming large in your future, as the NFHS Network has called upon one Sean Boyd yet again to be color analyst for, this time, basketball championships. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm very excited about the opportunity. The NFHS, the National Federation of High School Sports, you know, they're allowing me to be the color analyst for Division II championships at Sleep Train for High School. And so I'm very excited about that. Before I do those duties, I'm down in Galt on Thursday, and I'm calling a couple of games there. And so, you know, some exciting times, you know, some exciting things happening for us. And so, you know, I'm going to have a lot of fun with it, Sean Wally.
So Thursday, is that like this week? Is that happening like right now?
Yeah, that's this Thursday.
Separation is in the preparation, my friend.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, of course, there's the NFHS has their website. And if you want to listen to any of those games, this is the Sac Joaquin section. You know, feel free to go on there. And if you want to listen to yours truly and some great basketball, you know, there's some awesome teams that are, of course, go to Sleep Train to play. And so it should be an exciting time.
Well, let's be clear about that. It's not just listen, it's watch, because it's a video stream. So it's basically
right.
A TV broadcast. So if you want to check out great high school basketball, great commentary by Sean Boyd, definitely do that. And, you know, it's got to be an amazing feeling for those high school students to be able to play at Sleep Train, to play at the NBA arena. And, you know, we've had people on in the past that have talked about that, you know, like Henry Turner and other people that have been big-time guests have said, man, I got to play there when I was – you know, in junior high or AAU or in high school, and it just sunk in, and that could be happening this next week.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you know, I've had the chance to watch my son play at Sleep Train in the sectionals and in the state championships, and, you know, it's a fun time to actually see your kid out there playing on a professional arena. And, you know, of course, you know, if you talked with my son, he's had visions of grandeur on playing on that floor. And, you know, it's a stepping stone for each one of these young men and young women to go out there and give their best. And who knows, they might be, you know, the next one or the next point guard for the Sacramento Kings, like one Isaiah Thomas.
And Isaiah Thomas and everybody else in the NBA got their start in the college ranks. And right now, the top three in the NCAA, as we're here in March, March Madness about to take hold next week. Florida, Wichita State, and Arizona rounding out the top three. Just amazing that Wichita State is doing so well as a smaller school.
Well, I know, you know, Sean, you were talking about some of the stuff that I'm doing with the NFHS, and, you know, you have a big hand going with CBS in the coming weeks of March Madness, doing some behind the scenes. I know that you're probably hoping that maybe one of those top three winds up there in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, first things first, I get to see number three Arizona take on Oregon on Saturday.
That's right.
In Eugene. So that'll be a first, a new experience, checking out the Oregon campus and the city of Eugene. So big things happening there, and getting our Oregon insider David Massey involved, so that'll be great. He can show me around town and the campus, and I can show him around the CBS way of sports production. So be a good time for sure. And then definitely the 2 weeks later, the 20th and 22nd, be working for CBS at the Spokane Arena for the NCAAs.
So do you think in a couple of weeks that there'll be snow on the ground in Spokane? I heard that there was snow the past couple of days here. Do you think the seasons will be will have changed by then?
You know, it's looking like the snow and ice are finally over here in the West. I can't say the same for the Midwest and the East, but, you know, temperatures are rising back above 50 tomorrow. And, you know, Spokane is higher elevation than where I'm at here in the Tri-Cities. But, you know, it's definitely heating up all over the Pacific Northwest. And I think the snow and ice is gone unless you're in the mountain passes.
Yeah, so nonetheless, I mean, there's great NCAA basketball action coming to Spokane. That's always a great venue to play. Of course, that's one of the home courts for the Gonzaga Bulldogs, who just had a sensational win a couple of nights ago against St. Mary's to solidify themselves going into their tournament. And so, you know, who knows? Gonzaga might, you know, get the luck of the draw and get to play in their area.
Yeah, Selection Sunday coming up very soon. And, you know, the conference tournament starting up next week after, I believe, the teams end play Saturday the 8th. So it'll be a big week for all the conference tournaments. And, you know, that's when you see the heart, the passion, the desire. And sometimes teams that don't have the best record can come out on top because they put it all together and they want it more than the team that thinks they deserve it.
You know, I had somebody ask me today. They said, hey, are you getting involved in the March Madness and the pools? I mean, let's face it. I mean, that's something that is almost like, you know, and then, like I mentioned with baseball, with the national pastime, the Wichita State Shockers, you know, where do you think that they will rank on a lot of people's brackets coming up in a couple of weeks?
Well, right now they're second in the country, so they almost have to be a number one in one of the regions. If they're not, it's another showing that the system is broken, because you can't be second in the country and then be what, a six seed, a four seed? That's ridiculous and should not happen.
Yeah, there's no way in the world that the Shockers will be no worse than they will be a number one seed. Let's face it, when you go undefeated in a season, that should pretty much guarantee you a number one ranking. They're also a Final Four team from last year, and so, you know, they're not going to sneak up on anybody. But it is amazing that, you know, they were undefeated. Out of all the teams and out of all the schools that you could think of that could possibly go undefeated, you know, I know we thought Syracuse might have this year because they played great basketball, but Wichita State, that is definitely, you know, a surprise for a lot of people, especially in the NCAA.
So, Sean, I know you've been to Eugene a time or two when Daniel Barkley, your son, was there playing football, going to school there. Got any thoughts, got any advice for me as I head to Eugene Friday to work for CBS on Saturday?
Well, you're going to have a lot of fun. That arena, the McKnight Center, is just – it is so awesome. I mean, as far as an NCAA venue is concerned, you know, I've always said, you know, Uncle Phil has – I mean, Phil Knight has put a lot of money into that – into the University of Oregon, that when a lot of these young men that go to the next level, you know, or young men or women that go to the next level into a professional sport, it is a step down after they leave the University of Oregon, because they are treated with the finest of facilities, and you'll definitely enjoy that in Eugene.
Well, awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a great time, and help a few buddies figure out the ropes that we've known behind the scenes of television production, and have a great game with Arizona and Oregon on Saturday.
Yeah, so, you know, Arizona and Oregon, that should be a great game. I thought it was going to be the game that decided the Pac-12 at the beginning of the season, because Oregon was highly ranked in the country. And so since then, Oregon's kind of been an up-and-down Jekyll and Hyde type of team. It should still be a good contest for this weekend, though.
You know, I'm sure CBS was hoping the same thing when they booked that on the schedule. And CBS has not been to Eugene in 10 years. So a big moment for Eugene and the University of Oregon.
Yeah, you know, you get a chance to see, you know, a top team in the Arizona Wildcats. And, you know, one Nick Johnson from Northern California. As a matter of fact, there are a few Northern California high school basketball players on Arizona's team. Nick Johnson, of course, the nephew of famed and Dennis Johnson, former Boston Celtic and Seattle Supersonic, I might add, Dennis Johnson. And so if you watch his style of play, you can see a lot of DJ in him. And so, you know, I think Arizona is the type of team that will go far into the tournament. And, you know, they're going to have a good game to play this weekend to move forward in.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California. I'm Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington. This is show 42 of On the Double with the Double S Express. It's been a great show as we welcomed Drew Bledsoe from Walla Walla High School, Washington State University, and three teams in the NFL as our big-time guest tonight.
Yeah, you know, and again, yeah, Drew, thanks for coming on. And, you know, didn't get a chance to really talk about the Double Back Wines. Of course, it's only fitting to have talk about Double Back Wines on the Double with the Double S Express. Say that about three times fast for a tongue twister. But, you know, it was great having Drew on the show.
All right, Sean, show 43 next Monday night. Between now and then, a lot of great sports action to happen. We've got the close of the regular season of NCAA basketball. You will be on the NFHS Network as a color analyst for high school basketball. I will be in Eugene, Oregon this weekend for NCAA basketball and CBS Sports. Moving and shaking, my man.
That's right. Got to stay busy and, you know, getting that brand out there, and we're doing just that, man. So if you're in any of those areas, don't hesitate to come up and say hi and say, you know, just talk, chat, or whatever. And so, you know, it should be a fun time in these next couple of weeks.
Follow us on Twitter at Double S Express with no first E, XPRESS, as well as our Facebook page. And check us out. Double-S-Express.com is our website. All archives, past shows, or to hear this show again, Double-S-Express.com/shows.html, as well as right here, bbsradio.com/DSX. We've got us on the Double on iTunes, as well as Stitcher Radio. So many avenues to find On the Double with the Double S Express. Now 42 shows in. We're looking for 43 next week. Lots of action coming in the week ahead. We'll talk to you then. For Sean Boyd, I am Sean Wally. This is On the Double with the Double S Express.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.